I'm going to pray for Larry right now. Thank you, Lord, for Larry and for the preparation that he has done. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, and help us to, Lord, listen and act on the things that Larry has ready for us to hear this morning, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. Did you get a haircut? Something a little different about you, Steve. I don't know. So as Andrew said, we're going to look at the Proverbs, very practical pieces of scripture there. So we're going to consider, you guys want your coloring stuff? I think there's a proverb about the kid that's busy coloring keeps their mouth shut or something like that. In some culture somewhere, I'm sure that's a proverb. Yeah, so we're going to consider a very, very, very practical question now. Imagine that you're on a holiday in America with a friend, and you've decided to go hiking. So during your hike through the woods, you happen across a bear, which starts chasing you. This has happened to you, hasn't it? It's a very, very practical question. What's the wise thing to do here? That's what we're going to try to figure out. What's the wise thing to do if you and a friend are being chased by a bear? As Andrew said, we're doing our summer series here on major themes in the book of Proverbs. And the very first thing that the book of Proverbs tells you about its proverbs is that they are for gaining wisdom. So we thought wisdom might be a good theme to start the series with. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So notice then that a lot of wisdom is about the mental side of things. It's about guidance and learning, knowledge and discretion, insight and understanding. But verse 3 also says that Proverbs are for prudent behavior, doing what is just and right and fair. So wisdom is not just mental, about how we think, but it's also about how we live and act. And biblical wisdom is also about morality. It's about what's doing just and right and fair. So when you're in America with a friend being chased by a bear, what's the wise thing to do? What's the smart thing to do? What's the right thing to do? In Proverbs, wisdom has a bearing, so to speak, on how we work, how we speak, how we listen, how we think, how we eat and drink, everything. So wisdom sounds pretty good. And not only Proverbs, but the whole Bible urges us repeatedly to be wise. Paul prayed for wisdom for the Ephesians. James tells us to pray for wisdom for ourselves. And Jesus taught his disciples to be wise. But I've got a few questions about wisdom. And maybe you're wise enough already that you already know all the answers. But I had some questions. I wondered why wisdom, if it's about doing what's right, why is wisdom sometimes a morally neutral word in the Bible? For example, being skilled in a craft is called wisdom. A blacksmith uses wisdom when he makes a decent sword, whether that sword is going to be used for good or for harm. And sometimes the Bible actually speaks negatively about wisdom, not just neutrally. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for example, Paul says that God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. In fact, God will destroy the wisdom of the wise, Paul says. And later in chapter 3, he says, the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. And what Paul's doing is actually contrasting godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And James makes a similar contrast in chapter 3. There's a heavenly wisdom, which is good, and then there's an earthly wisdom, which is unspiritual and even demonic, James says. But other passages of Scripture seem to praise the wisdom of the world. In Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7, for example, he thinks it's a good thing that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, of all people. And when Jesus told his disciples to be wise, he said, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And he knew full well that the idea of wise serpents would make us think of the crafty serpent in the garden. If there is such a huge difference between godly wisdom and ungodly wisdom, how could the serpent be the standard of wisdom which Jesus calls us to? Is the wisdom of the world good or bad or neutral? When you're being chased by a bear, does it matter whether you're a Christian or a Hindu? If an atheist figures out a wise way to get safe from the bear, are you allowed to follow his example? The way that I make sense of it all is by thinking of wisdom as a process. It's the process of getting from what are my circumstances to what should I do. You start with the basic facts of whatever situation you're in. Say you have a lump of iron that you want to turn into a sword. Or the boss wants you to do something at work that is unsafe. Or your sister is getting on your nerves. Pay attention. Or you're being chased by a bear in America. Whatever it is, you start with the basic facts of whatever situation you're in. And then second, there's how you think through your situation based on those facts. How do you weigh up the evidence? How do you anticipate possible consequences? How do you figure out what's fair and how people might react to this or that? How you reason through your situation. So the wise blacksmith knows the right temperature for the forge and how hard he should swing his hammer. And when my boss wants me to do something unsafe, I have to weigh up whether it's legal, whether I might lose my job if I don't do it, and whether if I do it, one of my coworkers might lose his fingers or even his life. When my sister gets on my nerves, I have to think about whether I should say anything, what I should say if I do. And when that bear is coming, I might want to ask myself, what kind of bear is it? Can it climb? Is there a safe place nearby? What have you. Whatever the situation you're in, part of wisdom is this process of working out and weighing up all the factors that bear on your decision. What's safe? What's smart? What's right? What's going to work? The third part in the process of wisdom, after you've started with your basic circumstances, you've thought through that situation and all the factors that bear on your decision, then you actually have to come to a decision and act on it. Wisdom doesn't stop just with thinking things through. In the end, do I make the right choice or the wrong choice? A good choice or a foolish choice? Now, I think that breaking wisdom down into a process like this can help us answer some of those questions. Like how wisdom is sometimes morally neutral in the Bible. A Jewish and a pagan blacksmith are going to use similar wisdom when they make a sword. And we're going to use similar wisdom to the world when we learn how to drive a car, or we renovate an office, or we choose a refrigerator to buy, or whatever. If the choices at hand are not moral in nature, then the process of making a wise decision isn't going to be a moral one either. And wisdom in that case is a morally neutral thing. How do things change when the decision is a moral one? Proverbs says that it's here to help us be wise in doing what's right and fair and just. It's here especially that our wisdom will often be different from the world's. Why? Because there's actually another step to add to that process of wisdom. Before you decide the right thing to do and do it, before you even think through your situation and the options, even before you look at the basic facts of the situation that you're in, there's another step, something that comes first of all, a foundation. And Proverbs tells us what that is. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, in my opinion, fear might not be the best translation here. Don't get me wrong, God certainly is someone to be feared. If you think you can get away with disobeying Him and rebelling against Him, you can't. And some fear of Him would be downright healthy. But the word here is more flexible, and it can also mean respect, honor, reverence. And I think it's reverence for the Lord that is the point here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The foundation, the first step in godly wisdom, is knowing God and giving Him the honor and respect and reverence which He is due. So before you make a decision and act on it, before you think through your circumstances and your options, and before you even consider the basic fact of the situation that you're in, before it all, the first step and the foundation of wisdom is our wholehearted devotion and reverence and love for God. To be biblically wise has to start with knowing God. And this explains how worldly wisdom is sometimes treated as a good thing, sometimes neutral, and sometimes bad. Worldly wisdom is just fine if you're making a sword or a table, or you're planning the most efficient way to get from point A to point B, or what have you. The Christian and the Muslim can both be wise about these things and do them equally well. And even in moral situations, the world can sometimes make wise decisions. In America, we have a proverb. I'm not sure if they use it here in Australia, but sometimes even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Never heard that one? Sometimes even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Sometimes even the world can make wise decisions in moral ways. Take, for example, the wisdom of driving a little slower and more carefully around a school crossing. If a non-Christian starts with the idea, wherever he got it from, that keeping children safe is good, then he can make just as wise a decision as I can. And he can slow down under 40, and he can keep his eyes peeled, and so on. But in life, there are and there always will be situations where what seems wise will be different depending on whether you know God and honor Him. The steps where you look at the basic facts of your situation and you use logic and critical thinking and a sense of how people behave and all those basic skills to weigh up what's right, those steps are going to be the same. That process of wisdom will be similar. But if the foundation is different, then the outcome is going to be different. Who here has done enough work with computers to know the term GIGO? GIGO. There's a few people. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. The idea is that you can write a perfectly good computer program. Let's say you write a program to do some mathematical calculations. The program can be perfectly good and do exactly what it's supposed to, but if you put the wrong numbers in when you use it, you will get the wrong numbers out on the other side. And it's not a problem with the program. It's a problem with how it was used. Garbage in, garbage out. And it seems to me that wisdom is like that. Being critical thinkers, being rational, being reasonable, being logical, being sensitive to how other people hear us and what relationships are like and what the possible consequences for different actions are, that's the program. of wisdom. And it can be perfectly good for a non-Christian. But if they put the wrong numbers into the program at the start, they'll get the wrong numbers out on the other end. The big picture of their wisdom will be foolishness. It'll result in wrong decisions and actions if it starts from the wrong foundation. Does that make sense? So consider some pieces of worldly wisdom. I have heard people say, it's not illegal if you don't get caught. You heard that one? It's not illegal if you don't get caught. From a worldly perspective, that's perfectly wise, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with the program here. If you believe God is not there and has not commanded us to obey the law and is not watching when the tax department's not watching and God's not watching when the speed camera isn't watching, then sure, it's not illegal if you don't get caught. Cheat on your taxes. Break the speed limit. Whatever. Garbage in, garbage out. But that kind of wisdom is not good enough for Christians. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. I might think there's no harm in my speeding now or cheating a bit on my taxes and saving some money. But God has said to obey the law. Our starting point is knowing that God is there and knowing who He is, knowing that God knows better than we do, and knowing that He's told us to obey the law. So for Christians, it's not wise to cheat on your taxes or break the speed limit, no matter what the worldly payoff will be. Because our starting point and our foundation is different, what we choose and how we act will be different. That's a small example. Let's take a big one. Let's think about abortion. If you do not start with the principle that all living human beings are morally valuable, then abortion might seem like a wise thing to do. Part of the world's wisdom is might makes right. So why shouldn't we, the strong and the powerful, get to dispose of the weak and the helpless if we want? What could possibly be unwise about that? That's why human history is full of slavery and exploitation and extermination of peoples, because it is not intuitively obvious to human beings when they're left on their own devices that every one of us is morally valuable. And so that's the world's wisdom at its finest. Might makes right. But God says that every human being is valuable. And that's why it is societies with the Christian heritage that are the ones that have put an end to slavery. That is why it is Christians that built hospitals and orphanages and took care of widows and championed women's education in countries that would deny it. Because we think every human being is valuable. Honoring God is the foundation of our wisdom as His people. Might makes right, or honoring God. Two different foundations that'll lead to two different kinds of wisdom. This is why Christians are among the loudest voices against abortion. Because we have as our starting point that every human being is valuable and that the strong and the powerful don't get to decide that the weak and the helpless can be exploited and killed. Thank God there are lots of non-Christians who are also against abortion. Thank God that they can see that even from a worldly perspective, abortion is foolish. It actually hurts the women that it claims to help. And thank God that many of these pro-life non-Christians have borrowed from us the idea that all human beings are valuable. But without the foundation of reverence for God, can we trust that their wisdom will hold up forever? Garbage in, garbage out. We all need to learn to be good and careful thinkers, to learn how to relate with people, to anticipate consequences of our actions. All of that is great, and we all need to learn and grow. But the key to wisdom, ultimately, is to acknowledge God for who He is and to honor and revere Him with all of our thoughts and decisions and actions. And that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As Christians, of course, we have a big advantage, and that's because we know the Lord through His revelation of Himself in His Son, Jesus. We've been focusing on that in particular during the Christmas period, that Jesus makes God known. And Jesus, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Jesus Himself is the wisdom of God. Matthew 12 says that as wise as Solomon was, now someone greater is here. And that's Jesus. From a worldly perspective, Jesus was a fool. According to the wisdom of the world, who could be more foolish than Jesus? He died for people who don't deserve it. But the Bible says He's the wisdom of God. The world's wisdom says, look out for number one. Maybe it would be wise to die for a really, really good person. But Jesus, the wisdom of God, He died for us sinners. Godly wisdom is not look out for number one. Godly wisdom is not might makes right. And that's why what we think is wise will often look like utter foolishness to the world. Our foundation is different. The foundation of Jesus' wisdom was knowing God His Father, a God of love and compassion and kindness and mercy, a God who suffers with His people and bears with them and gives them life. And Jesus reached a decision and acted on what He knew about His Father. And so Jesus loved us sinners, even to the point of dying for us. The world might say, when the bear is chasing you in the woods in America, maybe the wise thing to do is to trip your friend so the bear gets him and you can get away. As Christian people who know and honor God, who love and serve Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, what do we think the wise thing to do is when, say, maybe I want to underreport my income to the tax office, or maybe my boss wants me to do something unsafe in the workplace, or my sister's getting on my nerves? Does being a Christian make any difference in these real life decisions? What we think is wise will show what our foundation is.